Nick, I was going to ask this of Coach Belichick. There's been a lot of discussion in the news this week about concussions and them leading to issues of dementia later in life and memory loss, et cetera. Have you guys paid a lot of attention to it, and has it changed anything, your approach organizationally to how you deal with injuries or stuff like that?
I'd say it's something that we're probably that we're cognizant of. I think in the end, the people that are most qualified, you know, when we rely on them are our medical staff and our doctors. So whatever input that they have, and they're probably a little bit closer to the situation than, say, myself or Bill. So what we do, you know, we take the information that they have, and then we'll figure out what type of application it'll have as far as practice or players. But really, in the end, they're more qualified to speak on that. But that's why we have them here, so to consult with them on matters. And it's a serious issue. I mean, I think it's something that the league is certainly conscious of. And in the end, player safety is the most important thing. So whatever you need to do from a player safety standpoint to make sure that, you know, players stay healthy, I think that's what you're ultimately trying to do.
Nick, what was the follow-up on Brandon Tate's debut in that game? And sort of from a coaching perspective, was there anything you felt like he could have done on that interception to maybe not have it be an interception?
I think, you know, it was good for Brandon to get some experience, you know, whether it was on special teams, returning kickoffs. He had a few plays there offensively, you know, made a nice play in the reverse. I mean, I think there was some good plays, some bad plays, just like everybody else. And in fact, on the interception, he ran the wrong route, quite frankly, and he knows that, and we talked about that. But he went ahead and tried to make a play, so I think he tried to do what he could on the play. But I think, you know, last week was good for him and some of our other younger players to go through practice and put them in some situations maybe that they haven't been put in as of yet, whether it's two-minute, red area. So I think it's good to have him out there. He's progressing along, so we'll see how it goes this week.
Nick, with a guy like Brandon, do you guys try and maybe limit it a little bit to him learning just one of the receiver positions, or do you try and feed him all the positions? Because I know you like to have that flexibility with the receivers offensively.
Sure. You know, I think, you know, a guy like Brandon, he's been in the meetings all year. So, you know, we might tell him, look, on this particular play, this is where you're going to work. But it's hard for any young player, whether it's him or Julian, to give them a large volume right away. You try to start them at one particular point and let them sort of build on that and get comfortable with one thing. But in the end, you'd like to have as much flexibility as possible so that you can move multiple players around, you can use multiple formations, so you don't want to necessarily pigeonhole yourself. So I think he's moving in the right direction. I think he's a smart guy. I think he works hard. So, and I think the more he's out in the field and gets those real reps, I mean, there's one thing to look at it on a sheet of paper in a classroom and then to go out there and do it on the practice field when you hear the quarterback call the play, okay, what am I in this particular play? So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I think he's moving in the right direction.
Hey, Nick, with what Miami's bringing this week, and obviously over the last year or so, you know, and they're drafting a Pat White. Do you? I mean, when you guys are scouting college players, does the emergence of that kind of stuff kind of affect the grade of some players? And you know, maybe looking back and seeing guys like, I don't know, Charlie Ward or Tommy Frazier in the past, might they have been graded differently based on some of the stuff that's in the NFL now?
I'll just speak to Pat. I mean, just knowing him a little bit more intimately than let's say, Tommy or Charlie. But
right.
I think there's some teams, obviously Miami, this is one of the things they do offensively is this Wildcat package. So he played in a system that's somewhat similar. But I think if you look at some of the college offenses, really they have a spread component to them where there's a run-pass option for the quarterback. So, like, with Pat, from his perspective, at least as it related to us, I think we evaluated him as a quarterback, and I think the things that he did as a quarterback, his mechanics, his arm strength, we knew he was athletic, he knew he could run the ball. So I think it's all going to be relative to what you do offensively. So, you know, I think if more and more teams try to employ something like this, then, you know, you might – factor that into your grade, but I think you're just grading the player for what he is. And for example, you know, with Pat, you evaluate him whether it's whatever position you're going to evaluate him as, whether it's quarterback, whether it's a receiver, whether it's a running back. In our particular case, we evaluated him as a quarterback, and then we assigned the grade accordingly.
Nick, going back to Brandon Tate, on that route, was it something that he should have adjusted to based on what he saw from the defense, or was it just maybe a brain freeze where he just ran the wrong route out of the huddle?
Yeah, I think he just ran the wrong route out of the huddle. I mean, it was an honest mistake. He knew he'd made the mistake on the play, and you know, we corrected it and we move on. So, you know, as far as what happened down the field, he was trying to make the play and it just happened to work out, and we just move on to the next one.
Nick, when you bring in guys to work them out at this time of year, obviously everyone's situation is a little bit different, but how much of that is to kind of put together a list in your own mind, you know, guys just in case someone gets hurt? How much of it's for practice reputation? How much of it is just for, you know, to keep an eye on other guys?
Yeah, I think it's twofold, you know, because you have some players, especially you get to this time of the year, you're in November, so you have some players, some veterans who may have been on rosters in 2008 and may have been productive, and then they haven't been in a camp. Maybe they ended 2008 in injured reserve or whatever the case might be. So there might be some good football players who've been productive that are still out there. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is, you know, you start to look at players that might be able to go on your practice squad. If there's a player that you'd like coming out of college or that you'd like during the preseason and you see some positive attributes on that particular player, then you want to bring them in, work them out, spend some time with them, have the medical information, and to make a decision on your practice squad, or maybe it's even something for next year as you start to look into some of the reserve future type things. So I'd say it's twofold. So it's obviously it's commonplace throughout the league. You know, some are a little bit more on an emergency type basis. For example, if you have an injury in the course of a game, then you have to act swiftly. And then also it's just maintaining that list of players who could be candidates to either sign to your roster at some point or to put on the practice squad for a myriad of reasons.
Guys, let's take one more question.
Nick, just to go back to Brandon Tate for a second, when you guys were evaluating him, I know that the word that keeps coming up, and his coach, as Butch Davis mentioned it, you know, electrifying. How close did you guys grade him to, say, someone like Percy Harvin, and did you see them as similar type players?
I think both players, they were good with the ball in their hands. You know, both had good quickness, both had good playing speed. You know, they had different roles. You know, the way that Florida had used Harvin, you know, he was almost more of a de facto running back because he was very involved in the running game, and they played him in the slot. You know, I think Brandon played a little bit more in the perimeter from a receiving standpoint, and he also played in the slot. So I would say they were similar from the standpoint. They were both good with the ball in their hands, but they were playing in different offenses, and their club, you know, their schools employ them a little bit differently. So there were some things that were similar, and there were other things that were a little bit different.
Okay, Nick, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.